What's up, everybody? We're Real People Gaming, and I'm Jen Yuchin.
I'm Dustin.
And I'm Nay.
Oh, I'm Sean, yeah.
And we're here to wrap up the last decade of gaming. We're all going to be discussing our top three games of the decade and talk about the years that have gone by. So, what are our top three choices?
Number one on my list, I have Undertale. Number two, I have Breath of the Wild. And number three, I have Life is Strange.
Number one, I have Bloodborne. Number two would be Xenoblade Chronicles X. And then coming up number three is Shovel Knight.
Number one, I have Mass Effect 2. Number two, Breath of the Wild. And number three, I'd say either Skyrim or The Last of Us. Still trying to debate which one.
The time has come.
We'll find out at the end of this episode.
It's the end of the decade.
I'm going to let you have that. I'm going to let you not know. Mine is in no particular order, but... Fuck, what did I choose? Oh my god.
You're like Undertale, Life is Strange.
Undertale, Madden 2002.
Madden 2002. My games that I chose were Skyrim. I chose, what was my second game? Why am I doing this to myself? Oh, my second game was Bioshock Infinite. And my third game is a mobile game, and it's called Love Nikki Fashion Queen.
Oh, so, Bioshock Infinite come out this decade?
2011.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right on the cusp.
Mm-hmm. First, let's talk about Undertale, Dustin's choice. Mm-hmm. Undertale came out September 15th, 2015. Dustin, you can start and say why you liked it, and everybody could just chime in like normal conversation.
Okay. Apologies in advance if I sound like a pubescent boy. It's been a time of the year.
That puberty time?
I've taught you. A bit of a late bloomer. This is a decade for me, though.
This is puberty season.
Yeah.
Decade of puberty.
Finally gonna be a man in 2020. I'm a bit of an old school gamer. Never really got too much into newer games to the last couple years. When I played Undertale, rang all the bells, had all the good tropes. Nothing that seemed too redundant, though, because it was more of a labor of love. Earthbound, the whole Mother series. One of my favorite games of all time. Drew a lot from that. And just evoked a lot of emotion. You know, you really felt connected to the character as you were going through it. You felt, not to sound cheesy, but you felt a little bit like a scared kid lost in a world full of monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And just the fact that there's so many different ways to play the game and beat the game, so many different, heirs to your consequences. You can go through your, what do they call it, the pacifist mode. The homicidal mode.
Yeah, or it's just like somewhere in between.
Yeah, you can play the same game over and over again and still get countless hours of entertainment
and
out of it.
You felt bad.
Yeah.
Once you started playing and you got to know these characters and the world that you were in, it really had such a good world built for it.
Just the dialogue alone,
invested.
Yeah.
Invested, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't want to hurt anybody. I just wanted to be friends with everybody in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, had great music.
It did have
I really
music.
Like. I yes, still, up to this day, I get the theme when you fight the last boss, the king.
Mm-hmm.
Not that
no,
the
that's
the
not,
king,
that's not.
The king guy. That's what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When he, he goes down there and he slashes the menu so that your, was it the talk option mm-hmm. or however you it, is gone and it's like ding 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 and it's like, yeah.
I just love that every that mm-hmm. game was pervasive. Like when that game came out, I had heard about it and like most things. On my habitual contrarian, so I'm like, oh, everybody loves it, so it probably sucks.
Yep.
I was never a big fan of, I'm blanking on what the actual term is, but when a game is sort of an 8-bit game or sort of a 16-bit game, but there's always something a little off about it.
I always call them high-bit.
Yeah.
That's a good term.
There's a lot of games like
that's
that
a,
now where
that's a high
more
8-bit
homage game. Games, yeah. Big Star Tropics fan. Had a lot of that quirkiness, too. Mm-hmm. So... it just felt like a classic game that got re-released, and seamlessly to me. A little sardonic, twisted in certain spots, but like you said, the dialogue, the way the characters made you feel, the flow of the game, like especially the last probably half hour stretch of it.
And there's also so
pizza
many
fingers.
Secrets in it too, like you can play the game a bunch of times and still not do everything that is in the game.
Yeah.
And that's
I like Undertale a lot.
I appreciate that you get a platinum trophy for it, for doing almost nothing.
I know. Well, that's a big part. You'll see
free
one,
platinum trophy.
One connective thread through all the games I've chosen is that there's an element of replay in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
All three of the games I chose, you can play it, you know, multiple times over. You're always finding something different, get a different result. And then by the time you get to the last result, you feel like playing it the old way again. It's just fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
All right.
Next. Breath of the Wild, released March 3rd, 2017. That was both Sean. I'm sorry. You're the only
Other
person
Sean.
That didn't say it. May. It was May and Dustin's pick.
Yes.
Breath of the Wild.
I mean,
so
I liked it.
Yeah,
May.
So, I always wanted a Zelda game to be open world,
mm-hmm.
and when it finally came out, it just pretty much blew my mind. It just exceeded my expectations and was even better than I thought it would ever be, and it just felt limitless, and as you go on each quest, you just keep exploring more and more things, and it's just, it's hard to put the remote down. You just kind of keep going and playing. I really enjoyed the major dungeons in the game. Some of the smaller ones, though, could be a little bit tedious, trying to figure out the different puzzles with the different abilities that you have. But overall, I really enjoyed the gameplay of it. I liked all the diversity of the weapons. It's like the game made you have to play with all the different weapons that you had. The fact that the weapons would break, and, you know, as you keep playing the game, you would get like a bigger inventory, and as you grow your inventory, you want to have like the wide range of weapons because of the different enemies that you would face. So it was neat, so you weren't just like stuck with like just one master sword or you know, the arrows or the bombs.
And the
and
like the items, some of the items breaking made it so kind of like, to me, it made it so that you didn't try to conserve like your best stuff that much, because it was
just
more
had
like
fun.
It was just like, ah, whatever, it's gonna break. It's gonna break in like 10 hits anyway. Let's just use my best thing right now. It, but like, it's like the fire rods and stuff you get. I'd be just like, F it, and blow it up.
And those guardian weapons too, when I first found them, I thought they were so precious and I didn't want them to break, but you end up
like,
finding a lot more of them throughout the game, and then they're pretty much almost disposable, so you pretty much just use them whenever.
Everything in that game is kind of disposable, which is an interesting thing. It's a comment on life.
And I just loved like the colors and the atmospheres and the environment. I thought it was all very gorgeous.
Great art style. It had a nice
amazing,
like soft filter to it.
I just felt like it was one of the few games that I played in recent years that I just couldn't like put my remote down. I would just go on like binges of playing it. Like,
yeah.
These at a time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
what did I go through? A solid 8 month stint where that's all I played every single day after work.
I watched you play it. I didn't personally play. I feel like it taught Dustin how to play modern games on a modern controller, because he had to use like the fake GameCube controller that you put on the Wii and the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
And like, it was just, you were locked in.
Yeah.
You were so locked in for
it was a massive
months.
Trial by fire playing that game.
And you had so much fun with it. And I think, like, that's just definitely a game that's accessible to anybody with any sort of play style.
Yeah.
It's cute. It's pretty. It has limited music. But
that feature alone, I loved.
Yeah, it just made sense. And the cooking was really cute and fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just, to me, the biggest thing in that game was being able to climb anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see a mountain.
Oh, I love that.
You just want to
climb
it.
It's metaphorical, but it's.
Yeah, because in a lot of, like, games, you'll see far off stuff, even very open ones, and it turns into a big, like, to do about how do I get up there? You have to find a path to get up the mountain or something. You still do it to a certain extent because you didn't have unlimited stamina, but you could cook a lot of stuff to basically give yourself unlimited stamina.
Oh, and
spent a lot of hours doing that.
The speedrun on that game is so good.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor and look that up. Game's done quick.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff people have unlocked with that.
Honestly, I'll link it.
But yeah.
I think there's some people that even beat it with 3 hearts only, or
barely
any heart containers I've seen.
It's
insane.
Amazing.
But you know what? That's the fact that you can even do that from the get-go, because that was the first thing I heard about the game was,
you can go beat Ganon
out of the get-go. Not explaining that, like, you could get the Ganon, you're not going to beat him, just,
Well, I mean, Chrono Trigger, you can fight Lavos after, like,
exactly. It doesn't mean
5 hours.
It was a bit of a nitpicking you know, element that people have, like, well, it's a game, you can get to the end right out of the gate. Okay, but if you actually want to enjoy
it...
Yeah,
you're not going to.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can say that with a lot of games. This game, still to this day, like, there's people that are finding new things in this game. This gets, what, almost 5 years old at this point?
Just about.
There's people that are still... like, myself, I ended up beating the game with a pretty hefty amount of the materials, and I know I can go back and probably play it for another few months. Yeah. There's a lot of things that I just, like, at one point,
did
I just gave up.
Did you have a house in it, too?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I didn't get the Shadow Link. I didn't get... There's a lot of things in that game that, like, I saw people talking about that. I'm like, I don't know where the hell to find this. I'm intrigued by it.
Yeah,
but,
it's cool that you can.
Yeah, you can choose your own route. And that was the first open world game I ever played like that. My only gripe about the game, I know my May likes the dungeons and I love the dungeons, was not a big fan of the different Ganons. I wanted a little bit more variation in the bosses. That's just something all the other games had. This was pretty cool. They were definitely very challenging, and there was obviously a puzzle-solving way to figure out how to actually beat them. But I wish there were a little bit more of a variety when it came to bosses in the game. But yeah, that was really cool. That was just a very beautifully done game.
Yeah. It's definitely really replayable.
Yeah, pathos driving, very emotional.
Is it replayable? I feel like it's such a struggle to get anything done in that game. I can't imagine wanting to replay it.
Well, when you're talking about the cooking thing,
well, I guess
I just spent hours cooking
so you can
one
dip
day.
In and out
whatever
you want.
Yeah, it's more of like
you can always explore.
Yeah, you don't need to start a new save or anything. Just there's all even after you beat it,
you're
just
right.
Go in and do whatever.
I beat the game.
Grand Theft Auto Zelda.
Yeah, I beat the game, and I know there's still like three parts of the map I didn't unlock. So at this point in time, like, my curiosity's still there. I'll probably pick it up and start playing again one day. It was a game for everybody. Very well done. Curious to see where they're going with the second one.
Yeah, definitely can't wait.
It's going underground.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough act to follow, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Might even be better than
that. Next.
I made it.
Next we have Life is Strange. It came out It came out January 30th, 2015. Life is Strange.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin, you picked that. I'm gonna let you talk about it again first.
What's so strange
about
life?
I do have a lot
life?
To say.
This
no.
game.
What's
gonna
so
say,
strange
gonna
about life?
I do enjoy that game.
Jen introduced me to the game, so obviously she's got a massive
fun. I had played it
fun.
Before
yeah.
that on 360.
I have a soft spot as a 36-year-old man for the occasional. Well, I still call it ABC Family. The freeform drama, Swish at Birth, you know, Secrets of a Teenage Pregnant Teenager, whatever the hell it was called. You know what shows I'm talking about.
Secret Life of
the Secret Pregnancy.
Teenager.
Yeah. Show the CW dramas, like you were saying yourself.
You like teen dramas.
A little cattiness, but, you know, it is what it is. The Degrassi-isms. I'm also a massive sci-fi and paranormal nerd, and that game I felt was just a masterful mix of both of them. I mean, a lot of people will chalk it up to being a teen girl game, but it was just very well done and full of a lot of, like, corny, like, indie tropes. Like, you know, the music itself was straight out of a Zach Braff film. There was the style itself looked like a mannequin for H&M. But it also felt very real, though. Like, for those of you out there that have never played it, you know, Scroll Max can, to just summarize it, can essentially time travel, can rewind time. You know, she witnesses a schoolmate murdering somebody, and there's all this different outrolling of events that happen that it's very much the butterfly effect. You know,
it literally has a butterfly in it.
Exactly, that's one of the symbols of the game. Like, every single action in that game begets a different consequence, and
the consequences in that game are super heavy.
They feel real.
There's
it feels like, yeah.
One point, and this is. I guess it's a spoiler alert, but there's a character in that game who attempts suicide by jumping off of a building, and the how you talk to her and your interactions with her prior to that moment in the game have weight to her decision for jumping off the building. And the first time I played it, that bitch jumped, and she's just dead. There's no saving
her.
Yeah, and I looked up if you could save her, and you can, and I was like, well, fuck.
Well, you should have been a nicer person.
I wasn't. Yeah. It was just I said the wrong things because I didn't remember her like brother's name or something. But also at that game, when I played it for the first time, I was so absorbed into it that when I was talking about it to somebody, I said me and Chloe rather than the character Sam and Chloe. And who I was talking about, they were like,
Max and Chloe.
You mean Max and Chloe? Yeah, Max and Chloe. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah. I got so then, absorbed into it, like I was the character.
Did you have an identity crisis where you thought you kissed Chloe?
I wish.
In my dreams.
I don't think I kissed her the first time.
That's another part of it, too. I'm like, again, I guess we can do spoiler alert on games that are 5 years old. You can kill your friend to save the world, or run away with her.
We'll save your city.
We'll save your city, pretty much. If you kill your friend, city saved. If you let her live, everybody else dies. So there's a massive Sophie's Choice in this. And yeah, like, it just felt like I didn't live that kind of teenage life. But you watch two teenagers like really go through this massive existential struggle of like, I've been imbued with these crazy ass powers I don't understand, but I'm also still trying to be a teenager.
The story gets dark and very real and takes a very unexpected turn, in my opinion.
I mean, when I had to make that decision to save the town, it was a pretty tough time in my life.
You're the reason why Beachwood's so shitty now, aren't you?
But you played Life is Strange, man.
Yeah, what did you play? What did you do as your ending?
I think we killed her.
Yeah.
Yeah, we killed her.
Killed
a bitch.
But yeah,
you gotta save that junkie guy in the trailer park. Can't let him go.
That's another part of it too. Yeah,
that
like
was really tense.
I think
trying to
you
with
can
him.
Get him. I think he might die too if you make the wrong decision.
I didn't play it. I just watched May play him a little bit.
I think Chloe can kill him at one point.
Yeah,
she can.
The option, yeah.
But it's just after he got done playing it, like I was one of those like, where's this game been my whole life? Like I could probably say that about 99% of the games in the last decade.
Yeah.
I was excited. Like, I heard there was an expansion. I heard there was a prequel. I heard there was a sequel.
The prequel game was
great. The prequel, Before the Storm, fantastic game.
I would say better, even.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. Do yourself a favor. Don't touch the sequels. There was even one prequel that was, like, there when they were young kids. I don't think we even finished the first, like, 10 minutes of it.
Oh.
You remember that? Exactly.
No, that was, like, an extension of... I don't even know. Yeah, that was bad. I didn't
play
that.
The second one is...
I totally forgot.
A massive woke culture
Life is Strange
mess.
2 sucked.
Graphics are incredibly dated. Glitchy.
Really glitchy.
But you know what? That game is a work of art. There's something to be said for the fact that, like... And I'm sure this happens with a lot of games. People make fan films of it. People write fan fiction for it.
There was a fan-made film.
Yeah, we watched it on YouTube. Check it out. It's cringeably beautiful.
Yeah, we'll link that too. Bloodborne released March 24th, 2015.
So, a big series during the whole decade with Dark Souls games. All the FromSoft games. You got your Demon Souls, Dark Souls 1 through 3, Bloodborne, and to a certain extent, Sekiro. And I love all those games, and I don't think there's any doubt that they're one of the most highly acclaimed series that a lot of people talk about and still play. So it's hard to pick just one, but Bloodborne was definitely my favorite out of the bunch. I love the combat. You were really focused on, like, having one weapon. The weapons were all really bizarre. They all had tricks to them. Combat was, like, really heavy and satisfying. And then, as with all the Souls games, it had kind of, like, a very vague storyline. It doesn't really tell you explicitly what's going on. All the NPCs you meet are kind of untrustworthy. You can't trust their motives. They might be lying.
That's fun.
The lore is... The game starts off as kind of, like, normal gothic horror. But as it goes along, it very slowly starts introducing kind of alien elements and turns into a Lovecraftian cosmic horror thing. So it's kind of like you're fighting, like, werewolves and beasts, and then all of a sudden they start getting, like, tentacles, and then they turn into weird little squishy alien things, but you find out the squishy alien things, like, used to be people that got experimented on, and you actually run into a lab where you see people that were transformed into these things. You find out there's this whole dream realm where these elder gods are influencing people, and, I don't know, it just goes on and on. The story's so deep. And it's fun to make it, like, you can look up channels on any Dark Souls lore, but I find the Bloodborne lore kind of the most satisfying, because people really, really dig into it. The DLC is great, too. It's only one DLC, and it's like, three incredible areas, and kind of like a real last boss fight. It's better than the actual game's last boss fight. May you play it, too?
Yeah. I just love the environment. It's very, it's kind of a mix of gothic and steampunk kind of environments, a little bit of sci-fi. I really like that mashup of different environments.
Yeah, I love the weapons so much. My main weapon that I was using the last time I played is the boom hammer, which is a hammer that has a small furnace in the top of it. And when you hit the trigger button, your guy goes like this and lights the furnace and the hammer, and your next attack will be an explosion. And it just turns into this whole dance where it's like, hit the enemy with the explosion, while they're staggered, light it again, hit him with it again, and you just dance around. You have one where you can light it with the enemy to like knock them away and achieve it at the same time. All the other Dark Souls games kind of rely on shield. You don't have to rely on shield, but they give you the option to use a shield, which is very helpful. Mm-hmm. Bloodborne is straight dodging. Mm-hmm. You can't be a mage. It's all melee. There's some tools you can use to mix in.
Weapons.
Yeah, if you really try, you can kind of get range attacks in there, but it's mostly you got to get in their face and dash around them.
Yes.
And Bloodborne, my favorite game this decade. Incredible.
It's great stuff. Gorgeous.
Xenoblade Chronicles X, April 29th, 2015.
So
I've never played this.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
I've only watched you play it.
Yeah, I just watched it 30 minutes ago.
What can I say? I have a need to play games that lots of other people don't. Xenoblade Chronicles X is like, I'm torn on it. It's a game I love that it exists. I love that I played it. I probably put like 150 hours into it and didn't beat it. But at the same time, it's kind of representative of everything I hate about modern JRPGs. JRPGs were my genre. That's like all I played. When I was trying to think of our favorites for the decade list, I kept thinking of games from 2000 to 2009, and they're all JRPGs, and I'm amazed in my top three there's no Square games, because that seems like a given, too. There's so much, like, micromanagement, and, like, loot is everywhere. You spend hours sorting through loot. It takes, like, a solid hour just to equip your characters. The combat system is almost, like, borderline nonsensical. There's just so much weird stuff that the storyline itself is very, well, it's not great, but it's a solid storyline. It's got some good ideas. The way it's delivered is atrocious. The characters talk forever. The writing is bad. The voice acting's but it says something about the game that despite all those complaints, I would say that's one of my favorite games because the scale of the game is insane. It's the largest. I feel like it's the largest open world I've ever played in. I'm not big on open world games, but this one truly feels like massive, like you truly are on a planet. I love mechs. You get in a mech, you can fly. Like, the first time you get in your mech and you have your pilot license, takes like 50 hours to get there. You're just in the city and you just lift up right out of that. There's no load screen or anything. You go high in the sky you want and then fly to the top of some random mountain on the other side of the planet that you, you know, you looked at previously and didn't think you could go to. There's monsters that are the size of skyscrapers that you're like, there's no way I'd ever fight that. That's just wandering out in the background. No, you can walk up to that whenever you want, stab it in the foot, and it'll just step on you and kill you instantly. the sense of scale and exploration and wonder, if you will, is, to me, it's unparalleled. So, and the combat, once you get your head around,
so you don't go into a mech for 50 hours?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Just like real life.
No, the game is very... I was telling Dust about it before, and you said it sounded like bureaucracy.
Bureaucracy of the game.
Yeah, because like the story...
You have the proper permits.
Yeah, basically. The storyline is that your Earth basically got destroyed when these two random alien races came and decided to have a war with Earth, like, right next to them.
Yeah.
So humanity somehow found out this was happening, and they evacuated the Earth right before, like, the two aliens blew it up by accident. It was just collateral damage in their war. So you're on like an arc. 2 years later, the aliens come back, try to kill the humans that you don't really know why. You crash land on some random planet. And so you have super limited resources. So they only let people that with a license have the mechs because they don't have that many of them.
That's wild.
I love that.
But it takes literally like... A big problem with the game is like a lot of combat elements do not get introduced. You, like most games give you your mech, the way all the combat works, and all, and you know, a general, all the other features within the first 10 hours. This game takes like 50 hours. It parcels things out so slowly. But I don't know. It's a game that I'd like to take a month off from work and truly dig into and do everything I can in, because it's a major time sink.
Those are like written exams when you're getting your mech license and stuff, too.
Hmm?
Those are like a written exam when you're getting your mech license, too.
No, I can't remember, honestly.
What's more
intense, yeah.
What's more dangerous, aliens or wet leaves?
After you get the mech license, you have to get a separate flight license to make it fly. Mm. It just walks until you get the flight
license. Never mind, you have to get it inspected every 3 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
don't drink in mech.
Yeah, so, that's a game. It's good.
That's a game.
Fuck that game. Fuck that game. Alright.
Shovel Knight released June 26th, 2014.
So, Shovel Knight, we already talked about Undertale.
Mm-hmm.
Shovel Knight would be the other, another one of the major heavy hitter indie titles that I think were a big deal this decade. And a lot of indie games that came out that were Kickstarted, because Kickstarter was the major platform for a lot of these.
Yeah.
I found a lot of them to be massively disappointing. Probably because just the hype train got out of control and they were working with small teams. A lot of times people weren't experienced at developing. So, you know, they didn't really know how to deliver the exact experiences that they were communicating. Or, you know, they would get overhyped and say too much.
Mm.
I know that, like, one game I was huge on was Hyper Light Drifter. Yep. I waited forever for that game to come out. And
I've only listened to the soundtrack.
Yeah, it's a great soundtrack.
It's so good.
It's a great soundtrack. The game is fun. But compared to what the trailers that and the initial Kickstarter campaign kind of looked like and how they initially talked about how the game would work, it was very stripped down and simplified.
Yeah, that's a common thing I've heard about that game.
Yeah, and I mean, it was fun. I liked it, and if I hadn't been sold this grand revision, I probably would have been fine with how concentrated it was. But Shovel Knight, on the other hand, was a game that over-delivered. It just keeps on delivering, because they just released a new campaign for it, like, this month. And it's all free. If you bought the original game, you got the original Shovel Knight campaign, then you got the Plague Knight campaign, then you got the Spectre Knight campaign, then you got the King Knight campaign, which has a collectible card game in it. And then you got the Royal Rumble mode, Shovel Knight Brawl or something like that. Shovel Knight Showdown, which is a 4-on-4, like Smash Brothers kind of multiplayer game. So you get 5 games for that one game. They all play very different. Shovel Knight is a high 8-bit game. It very much looks like a combination of like Mega Man and the old DuckTales game. Because you have the hoppy shovel, just like Scrooge McDuck. But
the distinct Capcom style.
Yeah, all the knights are very Mega Man style. Mm-hmm. You know, you got your Plague Knight and your Digger Knight guy. Honestly, the other knights' names weren't very memorable. But their personalities were. The game had an astonishingly good story for what it was. They actually put some effort into the story. There's secrets everywhere. The platforming is very challenging. But when you die, you just go back to last, checkpoint. There's no lives. It has a risk-reward system where if you break the checkpoints, you get a bunch of money.
Okay.
And so if you die, you have to go even further back because you blew up your checkpoint. But you get massive rewards for doing that, so there's a risk-reward for it.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It has a map screen, just like Mario 3, where it's little tiles that you move on. All so many endearing like characters. Like there's the I can't remember its name. It's just this giant fish that spits juice for your healing potions. And, you know, Shovel Knight makes cameos in, like, everything now.
Yeah.
All indie games.
We were talking earlier, a game I'll mention probably later on, Bloodstained. It's one of the enemies in it, and you actually get his powers.
Yeah.
You get some of them, so.
That's fun.
That's one of those games, you know, I missed the train on that, but actually, after tonight, I definitely have to pick up on it, because it sounds right in my alley.
No, I mean, it's great. And, I mean, they sell it either as the Treasure Trove, now. Like, in the beginning, it was all you got with Shovel Knight, and then they add the campaigns in. But then eventually, like, maybe people don't want all the shit. We'll split it into separate parts. So you can buy the Treasure Trove, where you get Shovel Knight and all the other stuff. Or you can buy the separate Shovel Knight game. Okay. You can buy the Plague of Shadows, or I can't remember the names of the other ones. The Spectre Knight one. But the main one, which is called just Shovel of Hope, is probably the best of all of them. Mm-hmm. And that's the original, the OG. Shovel Knight came through when others let us down.
I'm sold.
Thank you, Shovel Knight.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for that presentation.
Arigato.
Mass Effect 2 released January 26th, 2010.
Okay, so Mass Effect 2. I really enjoyed the whole Mass Effect series, as far as 1 through 3. I only played a little bit of Andromeda, though, but out of all the games, Mass Effect 2 definitely was the best one for me. For that game, I never really felt a game where your decisions, every decision that you make, no matter how small or big, ultimately affects, like, the galaxy in a way, whether it be, like, how you interact with the characters, or different, like, communities within the game. In this game, I never really cared too much about, like, my crew members.
You wanted to go talk to them.
Yeah.
Like, you wanted to catch up with them, you wanted to see how their day was, you wanted to further your relationship with everybody in the game, because the dialogue was even pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was neat that it kind of had, like, a dialogue wheel. Like, you can pick, there's kind of, like, a neutral route, and then there's a Paragon route, which is basically being a good guy, and then one called, like, Renegade. Yeah.
I was always Paragon. I could not be Renegade. I couldn't do it.
So Renegade is bad?
Renegade is bad. And you know, after you get to play through the missions and get to know the characters, it's just like, there's just no way it could be Renegade. Because I kind of, like, treated the characters, like, as if it was real life. And it was just hard to treat them poorly.
Yeah.
And I always kind of treated them, like, as if they were actually, like, my real friends.
And you, like, wanted to be a good leader, too. Like, exactly. As Commander Shepard, whether you're male or female, you just wanted to be a good leader.
Exactly, yeah. And because in the end, you kind of go on this thing called, like, a suicide mission to help save the galaxy. And you want to make sure that you have everybody on board. So one of the goals of the game was, I think you can collect up to, like, about 13 different members on your crew. It was definitely pretty big. It was definitely the Mass Effect game with the biggest amount of crew members that you can attain. But the goals with each of them is to try to gain their max loyalty. So you pretty much had to go Paragon and make good decisions all the way through. And as you gain their loyalty, you unlock more special abilities with them in combat, which is what you really need in order to get through the levels and missions a little bit easier and more effectively.
And the romance?
Yeah, romances were definitely fun.
I played that game so I could fuck. Like, that's the only reason I played that shit. She's like an interviewer in it. You can, like, let her interview you or not, I believe. So it's fun. Nice little cameo.
Yeah.
I remember seeing cutscenes of people seducing blue people. And banging them.
That's what I did.
I've definitely done that too.
Lana. I think I picked her every single game to be my girlfriend. I had to stay loyal to my chick. She's the obvious choice. You're gonna get with the plain guy.
This is like the argument in Fire Emblem Three Houses, where the whole internet was like, well, the obvious choice is, and everyone had a different obvious choice.
No, they were all winners. At least for the alien races to me.
Yeah.
All diverse. I pick Thane as the green one to be my romance choice.
I picked Lana, the blue chick. Yeah, I fucking love Mass Effect a lot. It's just, there was so much weight to all your decisions, and you really felt like you were part of that universe, and you didn't want to leave. It was so fleshed out and so cool. You did not want to leave, and the combat was pretty good.
Yeah, pretty much. I just thought the environments were also very gorgeous in that, too, and some of the cities were almost Blade Runner-ish, which I absolutely loved. A lot of the different species and alien races had, like, a lot of neat background stories, and you can definitely get lost in them. There's a lot to learn from talking to them and then finding different artifacts in the game, and then you go in your archives and read about them, and it gets very involved.
Yeah, it's really fleshed out
really
world.
It's really detailed.
It's a shame that Andromeda did what it did.
Yeah.
Last of Us released June 14th, 2013.
Yeah, so The Last of Us, I feel like, is one of the best survival horror games that's come out in the, actually, like, over all time, I feel like. I can't remember another survival horror game that I enjoyed playing aside from some of the Resident Evil games and Silent Hill. So this game really stood out to me. Can't think of anything else in the past decade, really, that was just as good as that. And I also like the character developments between Joel and Ellie. I don't really want to spoil the game. And since it's been about 7 or 8 years since I played it, I can't remember the whole plot like entirely, though, but it's definitely one of those games where I had to just kind of sit down and finish to get through the story. And the second one's coming out at some point, I think next summer. Definitely looking forward to see what happens with the characters then. What can I say about this? It's definitely like very spooky environment.
I think the gameplay was really fun, like the mechanics in general. I played it for a few hours. I'd say probably six hours, and then I just stopped playing it because I really don't have a reason. It was an awesome game.
Yeah.
I was genuinely scared. The sneaking mechanics were genuinely fun and fulfilling, and you really wanted to like avoid the monsters. That's pretty much as far as it got, but I just remember it being like really smooth, really cool, very cinematic, gorgeous. You could see the dust in the air on that game. It was so gorgeous visually. Like PlayStation, I love Xbox, like obviously, but PlayStation fucking killed this decade. They released the best fucking games of the decade, and that was one of them. Their exclusives killed it.
Yeah, Sony made big investments in the right, you know, the right third party developers.
Spider-Man, Last of Us, Uncharted, whatever else I can't think of.
Bloodborne.
Was that only PlayStation?
Yep. All the other FromSoft games are multi-platform except for Bloodborne. And Demon's Souls, which was the first one of the whole thing. That was PS3.
Yeah.
And didn't Last of Us have, weren't the zombies, like, fungus zombies?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've always been into the idea, of fungus zombies, so good job, Last of Us.
Yeah. Skyrim released 2011, November 11th. I picked Skyrim as mine. I think it's the best game of the decade, hands down. I still play it to this day.
Mm-hmm.
I played it originally on Xbox 360, and I just had a fun time with it. I think, I don't even know what I did, but I was like pretty much a big thief. And then I recently just started it again within this last year or so, mostly because I wanted to show Dustin, and he created a character and then didn't play it, so I ended up playing it. And
naturally,
now it's my character.
Is it a cat person?
No.
It was just
it's a Nord.
A grizzled hobo looking guy.
Yeah, I changed the way he looked because it was so ugly.
Yeah.
The first time I played it, I was a wood elf, I think. Mm. No, you know, I might have been a dark elf. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's the best game because you can literally play it forever.
Yes.
Just literally play it forever. Every time I play that game, I talk to somebody randomly on the side and get another side quest. So it's fucking infinite. I love stealing shit in that game. I just got into smithing. I built my own house. I got a wife. I did the Dragonborn DLC. It's just the most playable game, and every fucking quest that you go on has this at least semi-interesting storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Even conversations between people in like an inn. You listen to it, and it's genuinely interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The books, I'm sure, are interesting. I've never read them within the world, but it's just such a fleshed-out world with such interesting lore. Everything you do is interesting in that game, and super fun, and I'm really a big fan of it.
Yeah, and the exploration's just great, and it's just endless, too. It kind of has the Breath of the Wild feel to it. Also, you see something in the distance, and you just want to keep going, and then as you're going there, you collect other missions, and you see other people to talk to, you bump into other inns that you didn't even realize were there.
Yeah.
Up until the point that you try to get there, too.
So, I mean, you get
yeah.
you get arrows in your knee.
I found out that means you got married, and I had no idea forever.
Well, in real life,
arrow to the knee means that you got married.
Oh.
That's what that's from. That's why everybody says it in that game.
Huh.
I used to be an adventurer like you, and then I took an arrow in the knee, aka I got married.
Yeah.
I thought they literally...
Because you got on your knee? Is that what, like...
I don't...
Oh, yeah!
Maybe that's
what
it is. Oh.
Leave it in the comments.
Did I just explain this to you guys?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Because we're all married now.
Yeah, that's really what
it
means.
I thought found it literally like they took an arrow in the knee, and that meant, like, their tendons were damaged, and their knee, and they weren't athletically capable anymore.
So if you're looking for a new, fresh way to propose to your girlfriend, put an arrow in her name.
Shoot her.
No, you shoot yourself.
Oh, yeah, you shoot yourself. No, you proposed to me.
I ain't no Cupid. What can I say? I'm not a love doctor.
I ain't no Cupid.
Did you,
Dr. Joyce?
Did you guys play the earlier Elder Scrolls games? Did you play Oblivion or Morrowind?
I played a little bit of Oblivion. I did not play Morrowind, though.
I played a fuck ton of Oblivion. So Morrowind is unplayable.
Morrowind's unplayable?
At this point, because there's like, the map system is atrocious.
Well, speaking of unplayable, I played the second one, Daggerfall, which was only on PC. I never played the first one, which I think was called Arena. But, so, like, how does it compare to Oblivion?
I never beat Oblivion, actually, though, because...
Like, they're both wide open, do anything, right?
The worst thing about Oblivion in comparison, like, in Skyrim, you have dragons that randomly spawn.
Yeah.
And, like, it can be kind of annoying after a while, but in Oblivion, it's fucking worse, because they have these, like, Oblivion rip holes. The gates to whatever. And they fucking chase you around. Mm-hmm. They're boring as hell to get through. I got lost in every single one I went through. Yes. I never beat the storyline of Oblivion because it was so horrible to go through those portals and get to the end. I just remember really fucking hating it and like really not having fun.
That's definitely one of the turnoffs for me with that game too. I couldn't get through it because of that.
Yeah, randomly spawning shit. Like, I don't want to deal with this. It's not fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Skyrim, you don't really have anything interrupting you but the dragons occasionally. Even then, you can kind of run past them too.
Yeah, you
it's
can
like
leave.
A little bit optional. Mm. Yeah. And fighting the dragons is just amazing. Being able to absorb their souls and then using
satisfying.
Those souls to learn new shouts. And the shouts would give you more abilities, whether if it's like pushing back enemies or giving you some kind of magic barrier or casting a spell with it. And it's just, there's so many spells to learn too. And knowing that there's so many to learn, it makes you want to explore those dungeons because you mostly learn them in like random dungeons like that you explore. Like you discover those big dragon stones and unlock those runes and then you read them. And
incredibly satisfying seeing dragons float around because it's just mystical.
Mm-hmm.
And that game is gorgeous. Oblivion was gorgeous too, but Skyrim's far superior. And I used to think the opposite until I started playing it again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very replayable. I had it for 360 in 2011, and then I think it was 3 years ago or so I got it remastered for the PlayStation 4, but even still, like, I feel like almost every year I'm picking up the game and just playing it for a few hours on end, maybe a few weeks.
Super
and then,
relaxing.
Yeah,
you can fetch my story, you can go into it like a dungeon or a cave.
Yeah.
Like, you can do long-term quests or just something short and fun.
Mm-hmm. And the music's just great for it, too, the composition of it. Like, I find myself putting it in the background while I'm studying sometimes.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about the open worldness of it that I've watched you play it for hours on end, and I'm like, so... what's the end game here? Oh, there is none. This is just another quest. Every time you play the game, there's a brand new quest. It's just something, like you were saying before. It could just you being, like, I think the other day you got married and became a homemaker, and that was pretty much it.
Dude,
you built your home, got married, got two orphans.
The Dark Brotherhood.
Gave an allowance.
The Assassins, like, I wasn't even planning on doing this quest, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there was this lady in an orphanage who was a fucking bitch to the orphans.
I remember
so
that.
So I killed her!
Because
I was like, you know what? I don't like
so
this
mean.
Chick. I'm just going to kill her. Because specifically, like, they just said that they didn't like her and asked the Dark Brotherhood to kill her. So I was like, I'll kill her, whatever.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that when I went to sleep in my home, I would wake up in an abandoned warehouse with this chick from the Dark Brotherhood telling me to find out of three people who the murderer is and kill one of them.
Oh, yeah.
And then I did it, of course. And then she's like, it doesn't matter who you chose, it just matters that you obeyed. And I was like, this bitch is hot, first of all. Second of all, like, what? How cool? Because I wasn't even anticipating that. So it even, like, sneaks up on you. These, like, crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
That's, this is kind of off topic, but Romancing Saga 3, old Super Nintendo game, was recently released in America for the first time on PlayStation. And it gave me that same sense. Like, one day I just walk into town and some freaking demon just smacks me in the face and runs by. And then, like, hey, I got hunted down, I got the mayor.
Yeah,
a random ass shit like I'm just trying to walk into a town to buy a new sword.
Yeah.
And the quest just smacks you in the face. Because the saga games are kind of like a big open world. Well, not really open world, but close to open world as you can get on a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the kind of stuff's always fun. I think it's weird that like Skyrim is like supplanted all other Elder Scrolls. It's like they didn't exist at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That's what like I feel
like. It's like it has elements of every single one.
Yeah.
But it's just superior.
Yeah. But I just feel like Morrowind came out and it was a big deal when it came out. But then, and then Oblivion came out and it was a bigger deal, but like you would stop hearing about them eventually. Skyrim just won't go away.
And the mods.
It's
the
game
for
that
Skyrim.
Won't stop.
Yeah.
And there's
and
a VR.
And modded on Xbox.
Yeah. Well, the other games.
And there's definitely VR.
You
yeah.
can.
I actually want to try for VR.
The one problem.
Try for VR.
The one problem with it is Bethesda is milking it too hard because the re-release was like full. Close to full price,
mm-hmm.
if not full price. VR, you had to buy it all over again.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't think that they're milking it because I feel like there's so much to that game.
Yeah.
It deserves to be full price. I don't think it should drop in price because it's still so. And they're still updating it.
But it doesn't.
They're still updating it.
It doesn't cost them anything at this point. It's just found money.
I don't have a problem with that. I don't think that.
Like the Switch version again. Like the one that really got me is that they gave you the remastered version for PS4. Then they did the PSVR version. So if you bought it before you knew the VR was out, you had to buy it all over again for the VR one. That's stupid.
That I don't agree with, but I also like. I don't know that I would care as much.
And you play on Alexa too, apparently.
Yeah, you can play it on any. Someone
yeah,
was
there's
making,
a special thing for Alexa where you can do that.
Someone was making a joke that you can play it on Teslas soon. Like, it's just everywhere.
You can play Stardew on Tesla now.
anyway.
Skyrim. I fucking love that game.
That's a game.
I was playing it 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe I'll even play that tonight.
You should. I'll play it tonight too. It's like my winds down game at night.
It really is. Yeah.
Your orphans always crack me up in that game because I'm kids like, Father, so nice to see you. Can I have an allowance?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What does he call the one kid as an insult?
A milk drinker.
That's
oh, yeah. Such a milk drinker.
Oh. And I hate milk drinkers.
Who doesn't hate milk drinkers?
Put that on the record.
Even that's a baby. Next one is.
Madden 2012!
WWE.
Bioshock Infinite released March 26th, 2013.
I played the fuck out of this game.
I played that one a lot too.
I also played the fuck out of this game.
Amazing game.
I've fallen out of loving it with subsequent years, but it doesn't change that I played shit out of it. I think the story's stupid.
It's not stupid. I just replayed
it.
I just replayed it for the first time since I played it when it originally came out.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when it first came out, I beat it within like 3 days
because
I was sick, so I just beat it quick.
I binged it.
I stood up at the end of it and I just like had to pace around back and forth because the end was so good.
Clapped at the screen.
I was alone, but I was like pacing back and forth. I was like, oh my god, this was crazy. I think it's a fucking great game. I think the story is really good, especially in today's climate of 2019. If you play it right now, it's a little eerie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go any further than that, but just if you play it in 2019, you'll see some pretty interesting shit that reflects today. I just thought it was really fun. The world is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Very open, because they even have like random houses that you can go into and pick locks and find secrets. And like, there's all extra shit if you really want to explore the area. Elizabeth is such an alive character in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I first was playing it, when she would toss me something, I would verbally say thank you to her. As if she's like a real chick, because she was just very real and very sweet. And you wanted to, like, help her get to where she wanted to be. Even though Booker's kind of like a bad guy in it, you end up, like, really wanting to treat her sweetly. So, I thought it was a fucking great game and just completely gorgeous, especially the remastered on Xbox One. So gorgeous.
Yeah, I really love the hook to travel, the sky hook thing.
Yeah, and smashing someone in the face with that.
Yeah, good stuff. The plasmids, or whatever they were called.
The tonics?
I can't remember what they were called in that one. Because I get
plasmids, but you drink the tonic.
I get it confused with the old one because it used
the. It's the same. It's called the same thing, though, because it's the same, like,
it
universe, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the powers you can get. You can mix them in creative ways.
Yeah.
Like, I know with mine, I only wanted to concentrate on having two guns because, you know, you go to the vending machines and upgrade them.
Yeah, you do.
And I wanted to pile all my money into only two guns and not have to spread it out. So, but my two choices left me with no way to get, like, snipers. So I ended up using the water power because it would grab people and pull them close.
Mm.
So whenever people were sniping, I had that fully upgraded, too, and just go up. It would grab, like, five guys at once and pull them all at me. And then I use the electric one to set traps So you pull them into the traps, water plus electricity, then they're there. You pull out the big gun, blow them away. So that was my go-to that I did for basically everything in that game.
And it's eerie. Like, I was scared when I was
playing
that game.
So very atmospheric.
The horror element to it.
The screaming guy.
Yeah. The songbird.
Yeah.
And it's kind of steampunk, too, in a way.
Very steampunk.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, what was the general, I think we've talked about this before, but what was the general reception of it when it came out?
Everybody loved it.
Did everybody love it?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
I was curious about that, because I had played the original Bioshock. My first foray into this was when you were starting to play it, and I fell in love with it. Again, fantastic game, love the historical elements of it, the steampunk elements of it. I just wasn't quite sure how it was actually received, because...
George Washington that you get to kill?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah,
I remember that
from the commercials and being like, this game is going to be fucking nuts.
Yeah. I don't know. I remember feeling that I liked the whole storyline at first, but then I thought about how like sad the actual ending was, and I don't know. I'm starting to forget. Do you play the DLCs?
I own the DLC, but I still have never played it.
I
don't know why.
I like the DLC.
I feel like a fraud because I haven't played the DLC.
The noir one. You know, where you're like the detective and Elizabeth is the hot dame. That came out, I think, maybe a year or 2 years after the game. I felt like it was a long time after.
It was too long. Like, I stopped caring. Not that I stopped caring about it, but I was, like, I was past it.
I felt like once I got out of the rhythm of the way the shooting in that game worked, it was hard for me to get back into it.
You know, there's one part in that game where you have to, like, take down a blimp that's, like, attacking a ship.
Yeah.
It's a fucking nightmare of a level, and it takes me so long to beat it.
Is
when
it the
I first
last
played
one?
It, it's, like... the third to last one or something. But, like, the first time I played it, it took me so long to beat it. And now I'm playing it again, and I'm, like, stuck on it. And I just, like, don't even want to play because it's so unenjoyable. And I'm on easy.
I remember dying a couple times for that one.
It's too hard. I'm on easy, and it's, like, hard as fuck.
Yeah, I did a 1999 mode or something like that? I did it on that. It's, like, numbers pop out of things when you shoot it. Like, it's an RPG. I think it's called 1999 mode. I did a full run on that where every time I died, I would restart. So I was trying to do a no-death run.
Yeah.
So if you died, it was a game over, and I was literally starting fresh over and over. And I did that all the way until the last fight where I died like 100 times. I just gave up. So I gave myself one death. Because in the end, I just had... It was like the absolute last level of that game is... You're on, like, a ship, and you have to defend a generator or something?
No, that's what it is, and it's, like,
that's
the hardest... Is that the
last
one?
Yeah, that's the last level.
It's so hard!
Yes, that.
It's unnecessarily hard, because Songbird's supposed to, like, come and help you out, and then, like, the blimp ends up just, like, breaking or whatever the fuck you're on.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's so chance.
Yeah.
No, it's
stupid. I had it, like, I only had one George Washington left, and he killed me. And I'm like, I'm not restarting again. I did this too many times, and I came back...
Fun.
And it was the generator's like life bar was shrinking, and the George Washington guy, I was just like blowing the shit out of the past. I had the big rocket, the gun that shoots in an arc. It shoots like bombs in an arc. I was just standing behind him, just shot like 20 of those. He died right before the generator did, and I was like, that sucked. I'm never playing this game again. I'm glad it's over.
Just the worst part.
But, yeah, after that, I wanted the Burial at Sea thing looked great, but I played it for, like, 10 minutes. I was like, meh, and I stopped.
Yeah.
And that was the end of my Bioshock Infinite experience. Super hyped when it came out. Loved it. Played the shit out of it. I should probably try it again. I have a lot of other games to play.
Yeah.
Too many games to play.
Too many games.
Yeah, it's endless.
The best mobile game to come out of this decade, in my opinion, is Love, Nikki, Dress Up Queen... Released April 20th of 2017.
So, like, how dark is the storyline?
Apparently very intricate for a dress-up game.
So, this game was shown to me by just some girl. I was like, oh, dress-up game, like, that's cute. And she told me to download it, so I did. And then, like, a few weeks later, I, like, really started playing it. And it consumed me. I play it pretty much every night. It has a super active community. So, Love, Nikki, Dress-Up Queen, essentially, at the base of it, is a dress-up game. But there's, like, chapters that you go through and, like, challenges, and you have to, like, upgrade your clothes. I don't care about the story personally, but apparently the story is, like, very rich, and people really like it, but I can't be bothered. But even though I'm not into the story of this game, I'm so fucking sucked in because they have, like, weekly challenges where you have to like dress up a certain theme, and then people vote, and you could be in like the top 1% or top 20 of the world or whatever. There's like a creative mode where you just get to make like these outfits, but it's much more than that, because with the items that have come out over the past 2 years of it being out, you can create actual fucking art, and like it's like RPG character creation all the time. So it's super fun, and you can create really gorgeous scenes, and you can be a part of an association and unlock more things, and you collect materials and you craft, and they have cool collaborations. Like, they had a Barbie collaboration, now they have a Hatsune Miku collaboration. It's just cool as fuck. And I play it every single day, and picking a mobile game was like kind of lame, but it's the one of the best games of this decade.
It's a game.
And that game even sponsored the 2018 New York City, or Anime New York City Masquerade, mm-hmm, for like the costume contest. So it's like super embedded into the community, and it's fucking awesome.
You made me want to play it now.
It's the best shit ever. I love it. And I've put like $200 into it.
Yeah, people made some very gorgeous.
Yeah.
$200 is mushly compared to what some people spend in that game.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about before. Like, those games, they
you can tell
they
how
make
much
money.
Play. You can tell how much people put money into it, because you get like levels. Mm-hmm. I'm like a level, I don't know what I am, but there's like high tier people that you can only get to with money, and people spend a lot of money on that game. So, some honorable mentions that we just want to bring up, mm-hmm, we're just going to yell them at the camera. So, what are you guys thinking?
Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
Persona 5. That was almost in top 3.
Diablo 3 or StarCraft 2.
Definitely Diablo 3. Oh, Stardew Valley. Duh.
Mm-hmm.
Severed. It was a Wii U game. Also a 3DS game. No one played it.
Thumper.
Legitimately, no one played that one.
Thumper.
Thumper is awesome. Especially in VR.
And it's on your phone, too. You can get it.
Yeah, but you can't wear your... Well, you can wear your phone on your face, but...
Yeah, what about Tetris Attack? Wait, no, it's not Tetris
Attack. No, Tetris Effect.
Tetris Effect,
see,
yeah.
See,
that's
what I mean.
The
VR game.
VR one,
yeah. That's the VR one. Tetris Effect is an excellent VR game. The other one I was thinking about picking, but it's a collection of games, so I felt like I was cheating, was the Wipeout Omega Collection, which is the best VR game I've ever played. It's incredible, but it makes you very motion sick. So you're
Death Stranded.
Yeah.
Wait, what is it called?
Death Stranding.
Death Stranding.
You're like, that's my honorable mention. Yeah. I don't know the name of it.
I've never played it, but my brother-in-law explained it to me, and I was like, that's one of the craziest things I've ever heard.
It's a walking.
I'll play that next year.
Is it just an epic walking simulator?
And I love all the Metal Gear games, and you know, this isn't Metal Gear, but it's Kojima's work, and it's just something that's definitely worth trying out.
Well, apparently it's like community, like, I can build a bridge in it, and you will see that bridge in your game.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
It's instance. It's kind of random who sees it, but yeah.
It's pretty
someone
crazy.
Sees it, indie games. Hyper Light Drifter, even though it was disappointing, was still great.
Enter the Gungeon.
Mm.
Enter the Gungeon was
and,
awesome.
And Binding of Isaac.
I never played it, but yeah, I've heard a lot about it. Towerfall. Mm. Archery multiplayer fun.
One that I think the last game that really captivated me was Momodoro Reverie Under the Moonlight.
Mm.
It's an amazing game. The whole Momodoro series, in retrospect, is pretty good, but that's the I think the last one that just came out. It's a fantastic game.
Injustice 2 and Mortal Kombat 11.
Mm.
Not Soul Calibur. So bad. The new one's so
Slow
fucking
Calibur.
Bad, dude. It is Slow Calibur.
Slow Calibur.
Jeez. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, I really love Mario Kart 8. Mario Kart 8 is the best Mario Kart.
I think so too. I think that's the best
one. It's incredible. It's actually incredible. I legitimately thought about putting that in the top 3 because it's so good.
I want to say Smash Ultimate just because it's so hype for esports.
Yeah, that's true.
And Overwatch. I can't think of any other honorable mentions, unfortunately.
I said all the newer games I've ever played, so...
What's the last video game you played? Like, newer ones. May, you're playing...
I'm doing Dark Souls 2.
Captain Toad Treasure Tracker.
Oh,
come on.
Yes, I absolutely love that. Captain and as far
Toad.
As the VR, I really enjoyed
Moss.
Yes.
Yes.
It was only about a 5 hour game, gorgeous game though.
Astrobot Rescue Mission.
Yeah.
Cutest shit ever.
It's kind of like a platforming, kind of Mario type game, but it's with little robots.
So that's a decade.
Oh, Hearthstone.
Hearthstone took too much of my money and my time, and I want it back.
Yeah.
Give it back. Give me back my money.
That's what we chose. Leave a comment if you have any thoughts on it at all. Subscribe to us.
Smash that like button.
If you enjoyed it. If you don't like us, don't give me a thumbs down. I just don't like that. It's not very nice.
Yeah, it's not polite either.
Yeah, it's not polite.
If you don't like it, watch something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why are you even here? Why are you
Make a video about how much we're, how sensitive we are.
Yeah, we're sensitive.
I feel like this. We should do the Ferris Bueller thing now, where it's like, you're still here?
Yeah.
Go.
That was perfect. I'm going to just edit that.
See you in 2020.
See you in 2020.